The title of my message tonight is Preaching in Vain. And we're going to look at Noah and his preaching. We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 22. And we're going to put that into a present day narrative. So we know the story that Noah has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And in verse 14 through 22, we see God giving Noah a commandment. And it says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. If you were watching the news, they think they found pieces of the ark. They actually found the resting place of it. Stand by for more news on that. But they said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. If you understand the dimensions, these are better dimensions than most of the super tankers that are on the ocean today. This thing would not capsize. Think about it. The fountains of the deep are going to break up. There's going to be chaos and everything else. This ship had to endure all that. God can take you through everything. God can make a way that you can survive any trial. It says, a window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set and the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shall thou make it. You know that window was looking up. The door was in the side, but you know, Christ stands at the door and knock. Folks, we need to look up. We need to be right in the middle of God's protection. In verse 17 it says, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, and from under heaven, and everything that is that in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah. Think about that. That's a pretty big task. And it says here in three words, thus did Noah. You know, God's got a big project for us. Can he write in advance that we're going to do it? It says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. In way of introduction, there's three things about God that we can kind of see out of the story of the building of the ark and Noah finding grace and protecting his family. The first thing we need to understand is that God looks. God looks. In Psalm chapter 53, verse 2, it says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Here in chapter 6, it says, it came to pass in verse 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Verse 5 it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. We need to understand that God was an eyewitness to this. God is an eyewitness to all the evil that is in the world today. Don't think that God has shut his eyes to what's going on today. In fact, God himself said, I was there. In Luke chapter 17, verses 36 to 37, Christ, who is God, who was there, says, "And it was as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." We need to understand that God looks. God sees. God sees. But when God sees the depravity of man, God still loves. God still loves.
Amen.
In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might," what? "Live through Him." Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commanded His," what? "Love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, it says that to know the love of Christ. Oh, folks, I want you to know the love of Christ. God wants you to know the love of Christ. God's looking down tonight, and He sees your condition. And nothing is secret. But we need to understand that God loves. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." So in this story, we know that God looks. We know that God loves, because He's going to provide a path for Noah and his family to be saved. The third thing is that God lingers. God lingers. He's lingering right now. Christ is coming back.
Amen.
Judgment is coming. The tribulation period is coming. But God lingers to prepare people for judgment. To prepare people for judgment. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Which sometime were disobedient, which when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah." See, it's the patience of God that said, "I'm going to give them 120 years. It was adequate time for Noah to build the ark. It was adequate time for everybody to hear the message of upcoming judgment. God does not rejoice in the death. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He basically wants all men to be saved. All of us to be saved. Well, the ark was a preparing wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Think about that. We don't know how much the population was then, but out of all that, only 8 took the advice. Only 8 took the way out of judgment from God. So God lingers to prepare for judgment, and we know that God lingers to preach ahead of judgment. Here it says that Noah is going to be able to preach for 120 years, and Peter confirms that in 2 Peter. But let's talk about us. We won't go through the tribulation period, but Christ is coming back.
Amen.
And it says here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, when the disciples were saying, "When will the end time be? What will be the sign of your coming?" And He says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." God is not willing that any should perish, but His long-suffering us was basically wanting all of us to come to repentance. So the issue is that God looks. When God looks down on us, what does He see? Does He see a need for salvation? Does He need to see for quickening like we see in the psalm? He loves. And He lingers. You know, Noah preached for 120 years. His only converts were his wife, his 3 sons, and his son's wife. His ark was in itself a monumental message to his generations. While he was building the ark, it was a visible monument to the coming wrath, an incessant call to men and women to flee from the wrath to come. But the preaching of Noah fell on what? Deaf ears. Today we know that the preaching of God's word falls mainly on deaf ears. You saw what Brian did this morning when he talked about the number of people that were professing Christians in Ireland. Least of all the countries but speak English. And least the countries where the gospel is forbidden to be preached, where there's restrictions on people preaching that. See, but it doesn't matter how much you mock. It doesn't matter how much people say against it. Noah was faithful. And folks, today it doesn't matter how much people mock us. We have God's truth. And we have an obligation to preach God's truth. So tonight I want to look about four things about Noah. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved for fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, for the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." You know, if Noah didn't do what he did, we would not be here. Okay? If Noah did not do what he did, God's plan would have failed. But in verses 16 through 14, the first thing we see about Noah, we see his commission. You know, we receive Christ. Things should not be the same. Things should be out of faith anymore. There's three things that Noah was told to do here. First of all, he was to produce a vessel never seen before, never heard of before. He's been given these tremendous dimensions, tremendous requirement for building. And he's given this, and one man and his family did it. That's why it took so long. But God is long-suffering. So his commission was, first of all, to produce a vessel never seen before. Folks, when Christ comes into our heart, he makes us a vessel unto honor. Where our lives should be something that people have never seen before. What God can do in our lives. See, Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and it changed him. And now he's doing things that he never thought he could ever do before. That took faith. See, the things should not be the same once you get saved. They should be different. We should be doing things that we would never even comprehend or have the power to do before. The second thing, it was to proclaim a message that was never heard before. Up to this point, they were living under God's mercy. But now here's a message of judgment. And Noah's now going to preach for 120 years that this judgment is coming. Folks, we live in a time where we're anticipating the second coming of Christ. He could come back tonight. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we know what Peter says. It's the same time. It's the same thing. And people scoff just like they did. Where's the promise of his coming? Because day after day, we just get further on. But day after day, we get closer to God's judgment. The world gets closer to his second coming. So he had to proclaim a message that was never heard before. So he's building something that never been seen before. He's got a message of rain and judgment, of flood, terms that had never been dealt with before. So those are the first two things of his commission. The second one is protect your family from judgment never encountered before. Folks, we need to understand the seriousness of God's judgment. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It is necessary that we are prepared for God's judgment. And we need to have God's judgment put on Christ on the cross. That's where our judgment is. See, God asked us to do things that we could not do before, because now we have faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen." Noah never saw an ark. He probably didn't know what gopher wood was. Not only that, he was asked to go out and find two of everything. And have you ever thought about that? Now, God brought it to him, but he had to make sure that it was all there. What a tremendous commission that he had. Produce a vessel never been seen. Proclaim a message that's never been heard before. Protect your family from judgment that you never have ever experienced before. You know, it takes courage to do that. To launch out into the deep. To go where no man has gone before. To go out to a place where you have to live by faith. It says that the just shall live by faith. See, he had three things here that showed his courage. Now, if God came knocking on your door and said, I want you to build this 300 some odd foot long vessel that's 50 foot high and 175 meters wide, basically, and you're going, what? It takes courage to accept a challenge that's almost insurmountable, doesn't it? Think about this. Out of all the people, God comes to him. Tonight, out of all the people in San Antonio, out of all people in our state, God's talking to us. He might be talking to you directly. He says, I have something for you to do. Do you have the courage to accept the challenge? Psalm 27, verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of what? Good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So Noah got this commission, and then he had the courage to accept the challenge. In verse 22 said, it said, thus did Noah. Has God said something to you that you haven't done yet? If you haven't done it yet, you haven't accepted the challenge. What is God calling you to do, and we need to accept the challenge? The second thing is he had courage to adhere to God's commandment. In verse 22, it says, thus did Noah according to what? All that God commanded him. Now, think about this. About 60 years into this, you don't know how much he's got. You're going, what are we going to do? It's another day building the ark. And what do we like to do? We have this monumental task. I know what I do. I try to find a shortcut. I mean, really, is there any other way to do this? And you know, that's where faith grows, is when we have to keep on doing things and we don't necessarily see the progress that we want. And it takes courage to keep on going. It takes faith to keep on going. And Psalm chapter 119, verse 101, we just studied this last Wednesday night. I have refrained my feet from what? From every evil way that I might what? Keep thy word. Folks, there had to be some changes in Noah's life in order to do this. There had to be some changes in Noah's family to do this. There had to be changes in his work habits to do this. There had to be changes in his outlook to do this. Everything had to be focused on what God had told him to do. But he had the courage to accept the challenge. He had the courage to adhere to God's commandments. And then he had the courage to accomplish God's commission. It says, according to all that God commanded him, so what? So did he. You know, God could count on Noah. He could count on Noah to do exactly what he told him to do. Can God count on us? See, if God can't count on us, then is God wasting his time? If God can't find us and trust us to do what he's called us to do, is God wasting his time? Is this preaching in vain? You know, preaching in vain, we see this from all the people that did not accept Noah's message. But folks, We hear God's word preached every Sunday and every Wednesday night. You can turn it on the news and we hear God's words talk to us. We can read it. Does it change us? Does it make us that God's will is so we be conformed to His image? Do we have the courage to do that? We have the commission. But do we have the courage to accept His challenge? Do we have the courage to adhere to God's commandment and the courage to accomplish His commission? This morning we saw a man who's eager to get to a tough field. We heard him say that prayer missionaries have been discouraged. What takes us to get discouraged that we don't try something? I'm so glad for him, for Brian.
Amen.
Because he's willing to step out in that, to go for a place he's never lived before, work with people that he's never been before, preach messages that he's never prepared before. But he loves God that much because he knows that God's looking. He knows that God loves him. And he knows that God lingers. And he's lingering to get more people saved, especially out of Ireland. So it happens today. He's following the call just like Noah did. You know, don't measure results based on numbers. Measure results based on faithfulness. Because the commandment was in verse 18, he says, "But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come in the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." See, as converts, we're only, I missed a point, but it's okay. The issue is that when we're done, can we say this? Noah did everything he was told to do, okay? As Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. But then in verse, Genesis 7, verse 13, we see his converts. He said, "In the selfsame day, enter Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark, just as God had asked." Folks, if we do what God asked, that's success. It's sad for all those that did not listen. That was God's focus, was for the Noah's family, because Noah found grace in the sight of the God. He said here in chapter 6, he says, my spirit will not always strive with man's spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says this, But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, that has application in the physical sense of providing for your family. But folks, it all pales in not preparing your family for eternity. Not preparing your family for God's judgment. Noah found grace in the sight of God. He says, this is going to come. You have 120 years to build this boat, and then the judgment of a flood is going to come. You're responsible, Noah, for doing this. You're responsible, Noah, for taking care of your family. You're responsible for preaching the truth. Because I will tell, so everybody has a chance. Everybody has a chance. But stay focused on me. That was God's focus, and it was also Noah's focus. He cared about his family. Do we care about ours? It's time to lead our families, guys. It's time to lead our families, moms. It's time to follow God. It's time to understand, as Brian said this morning, it's about kids, folks. If we don't train our kids, if we don't train this generation, what's going to happen next generation? So, I think you're a failure if you don't deal with your family and you deal outside of your family. Your first priority is what God's given you as a family. And there's been so many people that have sacrificed their family for ministry. That's not right. It's not what God intended. Not what God intended at all. And so Noah gets his family saved. He preaches to everyone, but he didn't take his focus off of worrying about all them. He was worried about what God told him to do. He was worried about his family because he believed God that judgment was coming. And he acted on what? He had the courage to act on it. He had the courage to do his commission. I can't imagine the horror that happened the day that the deluge started. I'll tell you that God took Noah, put him in the ark, and sealed him there.
Yep.
Because what was going to happen was going to be something that never happened before. And all the people that had laughed, all the people that had mocked, all the people saying, there's no way there's going to be a flood. All the people said, there's no way that thing's going to float. All the people that had all the things that were saying negative against Noah found out that God is true. And that his judgment is just. And that it is definite. And that it will occur. When the deep opened up and the rain started falling, and people said, it's actually happening. Can you imagine what was happening? I guarantee you everybody made a beeline for that boat and was beaten on the side of it. But it's too late. They had 120 years of hearing God's preaching through Noah. They had 120 years of being prepared for judgment. It didn't happen. Folks, judgment is coming.
Amen.
We have time to prepare now. And Noah, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, and spare not the old world on his conscience. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of what?
Righteousness.
Noah's conscience was clean because he preached exactly what God told him to preach. Noah's conscience was clean because he did exactly what God told him to do. Noah's conscience was clean because God gave him the grace to do what he did. And he followed God's word. It says, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. See, the grace that was given to Noah was extended to his family. And tonight, don't take anything else. If you don't take anything else, folks, God gives us grace. And we need to share that in our families. We need to have our family ready for judgment. If not, you've departed the faith. If not, you don't have the focus like God has the focus in your life for your family. So grace was extended to his family, and grace was extinguished to everyone else. When Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem and he came near to Ephesus, And he was talking to the church at Ephesus in verse 25 of Acts chapter 20. He says, "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Those people, once Noah got into the ark, they saw his face no more. They heard his preaching no more, but it was too late. It says here, verse 26, it says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." If you do exactly what God says to do, you can have a good conscience. If our heart condemns us not, we have confidence with God. He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Folks, we can't hold back anymore. We can't wait for a more convenient day. We can't take a shortcut on God's plan. We need to do it God's way. And tonight we're preaching here. There's other churches preaching here. We hear the message going out. Is it going to make a difference? God's word says, he says, "My word will not come back void. It'll do the purpose." Noah, even though he preached and all he said was his family, his word did not come back void. It talked about God's judgment. And Noah was an example of what God could do through a person over a lifetime. Is God's word effective in your life tonight? Or is this just vain? Do we come to church and all we do is we hear the message and we say, "That's a great message, but it doesn't change our life"? God wants you to do things that you've never done before. He wants you to say things that you've never said before. He wants you to protect your family and those around you from judgment that's never coming before. There's a fire judgment coming now. There's a tribulation period coming now. And we have God's truth. And we need to show that to other people. I hope this message has become effective in your life. It needs to motivate us to go out and tell others about Christ. God's looking. God loves. God's lingering. We may not have tomorrow. What are we going to do today? What are we going to do tonight? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask that you just help us, Lord, just to have this message not be in vain in our lives. Lord, I pray that we just have the faith, Lord, of Noah and all those others in the Bible, Lord, that show that they trusted in you. Father, help us, Lord, to understand your call and your commission. Help us, Lord, to have the courage to act. Father, help us, Lord, to speak the truth and love, Lord, and that we can see people's lives change. Father, you say,